Welcome to our annual Harvest Thanksgiving. We're very grateful to Rebecca McClay, assisted by Agnes Wilkie, for setting out the display. We're very grateful to the candy bar for the usual loaf. And we're very grateful to Elizabeth's Groceries for the vegetables. And for everybody else who's contributed, there'll be something to it. And to Harry for shifting the tables. This year, we're having a retiral offering. Instead of harvest displays being distributed, we've always had a retiral offering for many years now. Usually it's been Christian Aid, but we felt for 1 year we'd like to do something locally, so it's for the local food bank. One or two of our members are active in the local food bank, and we're grateful to them for what they do. And so I commend the retiral offering to you. You have most of the intimations. I'm going to just say the Guild speaker is Elaine Smith, speaking about Romanian charities. I'm pleased to announce that we're about to have another new elder. Susan Gill, sitting over there, she is an elder already. She was an elder in Fife, but when she moved to Saltcoats, it's not automatic that you become an elder in your new church. The Kirk session has to discuss it and decide. So on Tuesday, we decided we'd like to readmit her. So we'll have a wee special service on the 20th of October. So the 20th of October, the readmission of Susan Gill as an elder. Adelaide College is having an autumn fair on Saturday, the 5th of October, 11 till 2:30. It's this Saturday coming, 11 till 2:30. St. Cuthbert's Men's Group is going to be meeting every fortnight, and the next meeting is Tuesday, the 1st of October, and they would like to open it to folk from other churches and even to women. I did think it's a bit strange if a men's group's open to women, but they insist. So that's the men's group at St. Cuthbert's every fortnight starting Tuesday, the 1st of October. St. John's Church in Stevenston on Sunday, the 6th of October, that's next Sunday, 3 o'clock, is having music and reflection on guns or other ways of peacefully resolving conflicts. The Reverend Kathy Galloway and Arthur West are the speakers. It should last about 45 minutes with tea afterwards. It's about how to solve the world's conflicts and our personal conflicts through peace rather than by conflict. At St. John's, Sunday, 6 October, 3 o'clock. I'd also like to say the Kirk session received a letter from the Presbytery of Ardrossan saying, would elders like training in any of 9 areas? And the session picked up their ears most at the one of working with young people. So we would need a quota of, say, 10 people, and it doesn't have to just be elders. But if there are 10 people who are interested in future working with young people, then please let me know, or any of the elders, if when we get 10, we'll get someone from the presbytery to come and speak to that subject. One of the things that we could conceivably do is to have Messy Church, you might have heard of, and it does exist in other churches, and we were thinking of maybe dropping by another church to see how they do it. So if you're interested in the course, if you're interested in maybe helping with young people, and if you're maybe interested in Messy Church, could you let us know? And finally, I'd like to say congratulations to Harry and Matty Duff on their 60th wedding anniversary. Well done. On this Harvest Sunday, we're reminded of the words from the Bible. God has promised that as long as seed time and harvest remain, God has promised that so long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Let us worship God and sing to his praise and glory in hymn 620. We plough the fields and scatter. Hymn 620. Jesus is Lord of the harvest. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, Lord of the harvest, we praise and thank you for this year's harvest. We rejoice to see the combine harvesters eating up the fields of grain. We celebrate the bulging fishing nets being hauled in on board the trawlers. We are thrilled to see vast fields of bulbs in Holland, tea plantations in India, sugar cane in Jamaica, cocoa beans in the Congo, pineapple fields in the Philippines. All round the world, all kinds of harvests, harvests in factories and offices and schools, in hospitals, in creative work by so many people in different lines of work. We give thanks for our daily bread in the widest sense. And you yourself are the bread of life. With you we need never hunger again. We admit that we have reaped more than we've sown. We enjoy more blessings than we deserve. We're spoiled. We just expect brimming bumper harvests, food on our plates. We take things for granted as if food just grew in the cupboard. Forgive us for our ingratitude. And forgive us for our waste. And when we think of ourselves as being your harvest, the fruit of your labours, we say sorry that we're not as ripe as we could be. We thank you for your patience with us. You are more patient than a farmer watching his crops ripen. Lord of the harvest, help us to celebrate today in a true spirit of gratitude. Help us to carry our thankfulness into practical service this week. May the whole world share the bountiful harvest so that no one will go hungry or needy. And Lord, may we share your blessings with all the people around us. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I'm a bit taken aback because the Sunday school's not here in all its glory. But we have one or two. So I was wondering, Caleb, if you might like to come out. Connor, want to come out and have a look at the harvest display? Erin, want to come out? Brian, you want to come with Erin? Just come and have a browse and a look round and see what you can see. Anything catch your eye? This is harvest, you see? Straight for the cow, yeah. It's a giggle, isn't it?
It's gagging.
Don't show Connor that one. He likes that one.
Connor.
Right. Sorry, Erin, you picked up the bee, but the battery's run out. But the bee otherwise would be a silly bee. And he giggles as well. Right? Let's get the cow off. Once he starts, he doesn't stop, you see.
Nope. If I didn't be quiet, then a cow.
Right, Caleb. Connor, what's the harvest that we get from a cow? Milk, uh-huh. And all the things made from milk. And there's yogurts. There's a lot of things comes out of milk. Yeah. You want a shot of the cow as well, right? Everybody likes the cow. That's it. Press his tummy. Oh, just a minute. Have to switch there. And if you hold him, it shakes. Yeah. Now, there are a few surprises in here, even to me. So, we got some carrots, potatoes, broccoli. You know all your veg? You eat your broccoli? Well done. Good boy. But the harvest not only of crops, the harvest's from the sea. So can you see the sea things on the table? There's the seagulls, look. Lighthouse. Octopus.
Octopus. Mm-hmm.
It's got all these arms. And there's the boat for fishing. There's a spider crept in this. You see the shell? That spider was in the shell the last I looked. Maybe the spider's crawled. Can you get the switch, Erin? And there's a wee fish. Right, come over to this side. Well, one other thing. You want to try it on? This is a builder's hut. You can't wear two at the same time.
No.
So what do you think Brian is? If that's a builder's hat, what kind of hat's that then?
That one.
I think he's a farmer.
I'm a farmer.
No, Erin's not a farmer. You're a chef.
I'm a chef.
Or a cook.
I'm a farmer.
Yeah. There's your barrow. And there's your... Aha, here's one. If you press, you hear it?
Yeah.
This one. We've got little chirping birds. Right, come over to this side.
Look at that owl.
Where is it? If you go over there and come back again, the owl will watch you walking. Just go over to where you were and come back. See? Try this one. Squeeze his tongue. Is that better than the cow? So, what else have we got? We've got fruit. They're not real fruit. They look very real. And the scarecrows to keep the birds off the crops. And there's a squeaky mouse. Huh? Why you got in the bird cage, I don't know. Right, come up here, look. Come round so folk can see. Look at the size of these onions. Look, they're gigantic.
Look at the size of them. They're quite big.
Mm-hmm. And I brought these tins because the harvest comes from all around the world. So there's a tin of sardines from Morocco in Africa. There's salmon from the Pacific and the west coast of America. There's tuna from the Seychelles and the Indian Ocean. And the prunes, I think, are from Greece. So just in four tins, you go around the world. So we're thinking of crops, the sea, building houses, different countries, the whole world. We celebrate today the food that we eat and all the blessings that we enjoy in different ways. It's amazing the things God gives us. It's amazing what we can do with them. From the grain, you see this loaf here. It looks like corn growing in a field. From the grain, the seeds is planted, it grows, and the crops are cut with the combine harvesters, and then goes through a process, and out comes bread, toast, rolls, muffins. Do you know that to make an oven chip, you start with a potato? And it takes 100 different stages to make a potato into an oven chip. 100 different stages. So we're celebrating God giving the sun and the rain and the magic growth. We're celebrating the harvests by farmers and others. We celebrate folk that do amazing things with the crops and the foods. We celebrate the cooking and the eating. Right, you want to come back down to your seats? I have to remember what to switch off now. Right. I thought we could all join in and celebrate the harvest. Would have had more of the little choruses, I think, but there's bits you can all do. If you get your sheets out, could we all say a wee prayer together? It's number 4 on the sheet. Thank you for the world so sweet. So let's just all say it together, right? Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. And let's try the creation rap, number 7 there. If we could do it a bit like you had a back-to-front cap on and a wee bit jazzy with a swing, you'll get the feeling as we do it. So, all together, a long time ago, when everything began, God made the world to give to man. He made the day, he made the night, sun, moon, and stars to give us light, the ground where we walk, the sea where we swim, the trees that we climb are a gift from him, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, made all the animals for everyone to share. And God was very pleased with all that he could see, and so he made some people just like you and me. Right, let's sing together, number 5, count your blessings, name them one by one. We could maybe sing it through twice, since it's a short one. I want to read to you from Psalm 65. It's a little short passage just describing the harvest. You show your care for the land by sending rain. You make it rich and fertile. You fill the streams with water. You provide the earth with crops. This is how you do it. You send abundant rain on the ploughed fields and soak them with water. You soften the soil with showers and cause the young plants to grow. What a rich harvest your goodness provides. Wherever you go, there is plenty. The pastures are filled with flocks. The hillsides are full of joy. The fields are covered with sheep. The valleys are full of wheat. Everything shouts and sings for joy. And I just want to read to you the story of how this service began. This has been going on for 3,000 years. It was God himself who instituted it with the early Israelites. This is Deuteronomy chapter 16 at verse 9. They had just crossed the Red Sea, they were in the wilderness, and in the early days of the Israelites, he was telling them to do this. Count 7 weeks from the time that you begin to harvest the corn, and then celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing he has given you. Be joyful in the Lord's presence, together with your children, your servants and the Levites, foreigners, orphans and widows who live in your towns. Do this at the one place of worship. Be sure that you obey these commands. Do not forget that you are slaves in Egypt. And after you've threshed all your corn and pressed all your grapes, celebrate the festival of shelters for 7 days. Enjoy it with your children, your servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, orphans, and widows who live in your towns. Honor the Lord your God by celebrating this festival for 7 days at the one place of worship. Be joyful, because the Lord has blessed your harvest and your work. Amen, and thanks be to God. So let's sing together hymn 627, Come Ye Thankful People Come. Just some thoughts today on the word harvest as spelt out in front of you. So let's start with H. What does H stand for in harvest? Hard work. There's a lot of work gone into the display, but there's a lot of work went into the harvest. And so saying earlier, it's not just getting the crops, it's then what goes on after they've got the crops to produce things. In all kinds of ways, there's all kinds of hard work. It's not an easy job to be a farmer or a fisherman or to be a miner down a mine. And everything in life takes hard work. So let's think about attitude. The attitude of gratitude. It's easy in life to take things for granted, We are very blessed in this country. We don't really live right near the wire, but we don't know where our next meal's coming from. Many people around the world, thousands of millions of people, really don't know what's going to happen next in their life, and they're a whisker away from absolute disaster. But even in our own lives, it's good for us to pause and to be grateful. People can live without your thanks, but you can't live without your thanks. If you're a thankful person, you live in a head that's a certain world. If you're not a thankful person, you live with another head, and you become spoiled. So it's good to cultivate the attitude of gratitude all year long, not just at harvest. So we're singing, "Come ye thankful people, come." We were singing, "Count your blessings." Hopefully when you're at home, when you have a meal, before you put anything in your mouth to eat, you pause momentarily just to be thankful. Let's take R for rejoicing. Thankful leads to being rejoicing. It's a joyful activity, thankfulness. If you live in a thankful world, you're always smiling. If you're counting blessings all the time, you're always cheery. Halliburton, the great Scottish saint, said, "When I feel down in life, I sometimes go out at night and look at a dark sky. And I think, that's how I'm feeling, black, dark. But I just keep looking till I see a star, and then another, and another, and another, until I lose count of the stars. And then it dawns on me, it's not as dark as I first thought." You can spend your time in a world where it is dark, or you can spend your time in a world where there are lots of stars twinkling. So we rejoice, thanking God. That's the difference between us and other people. Other people thank their luck. They're just thankful that they're born in a more prosperous country and not in one of those poor places. Some people thank themselves. "I've worked really hard for this. I deserve what I've got." And they pat themselves on the back. Some people think it just happens. They don't think too much. It's just you open the cupboard, it's there. But insofar as we are thankful, we direct our thanks to God. Behind all the people in between that we might thank, thank the farmer, thank the transporter, thank the shopkeeper, thank the cook. But behind them all, we appreciate it comes from God. V is for variety. Let me experiment with you. You shout out to me, how many different harvests can you think of? Just shout out what kind of harvest. If we think of agriculture with farming, what other areas of life? Fishing. I'm asking you to do it because when I did it in the house, I was amazed myself how many there are. And it gives a wider perspective to what harvest is. People. Can you narrow that down, what you had in mind? Oh yeah, we are God's harvest. Right? But people could be a doctor or a nurse. Their harvest is people coming in sick and walking out better. I wish I could get one. People. Teachers look at pupils coming in and look at them going out. And they've grown and developed and learned. What other areas of harvest can you think of? Kindness. Yeah? And kindness can reap a harvest of kindness by other people back. Yeah. Yeah. But I was meaning things like manufacturing industry. There's a harvest of what folk make out of factories. There's the service industry, the pen pushers, the finance sector. You don't see much for what they're doing, pushing the pen or tapping the typewriter, keyboard, I should say. But a big part of the wealth of this country is to do with invisible financial legal services. The voluntary sector. If you're in Samaritans and you help somebody not to commit suicide, there's a harvest. There's politics. Politicians do go into it to make it a better world. It's not so easy. But when they make an improvement with something, a good law that makes a difference, they get satisfaction. How many of you are involved in arts and crafts and you produce something? That's your harvest. Creative writing, music, sport. In all these areas, we all put in our best efforts and we reap some sort of reward. Let's take E, empathy. Empathy for people who are not so fortunate as we are. It's hard to explain and feel what it's like for the others at the other side of the world. Except they're not at the other side of the world. The other side of our food bank box this morning, there'll be folk locally taking home some food. We have poverty in our society, malnutrition. But around the world, it's a bit more dramatically obvious. And if you go there and you speak to people and meet them, I've been in a favela in a slum in Brazil and things like that, it becomes a much more real thought at harvesting. Sometimes it's natural disasters. So we're thinking of people today in the Bahamas, where everything was devastated by a hurricane. And that was everything. So there are no houses, no hospitals, no schools, no shops. There are no crops, no harvest. But then there are man-made disasters. We think of Yemen, Afghanistan, Syria. 3/4 of the folk in these countries depend on food aid from another country coming in, because war has devastated their harvests. We think of refugees, 60 million at any given moment around the world. If you're on a boat in the Mediterranean, where do you get your next meal? Even our Scottish farmers, in Morrison's shop, there are two milks next to each other, and one's 23 pence dearer than the other one, and they're exactly the same. But the 23 pence in one goes to the farmers, because the other one, they don't really pay the farmer the living wage. I've been in Africa with a tea grower who couldn't afford to buy tea. He grew coffee and he couldn't afford to buy coffee. Other places, they grow bananas and they can't afford to buy bananas, because the grower is only getting 12 pence in the pound. All the other money goes to middle people. And S is for sharing. Given all that, the logical answer is to share more. That's why fair trade tries to give the grower a fairer cut of the money. So we share. Today we're not going out with carrots and potatoes to folk, but we are having the collection for the food bank, both food and money. And that's why other years it's Christian Aid and other times it's Christian Aid. Christians don't really give. We share. If I was a rich person, let's take it as an illustration, a tangerine. If I had a tangerine and I gave you a slice each, that doesn't do much. But if I was to say, See, what I have, it's ours. And it's not my wealth and your poverty. It's our shared resource now. There's a whole difference between a rich person writing a wee check and a person really sharing in a deep level. All that's mine is yours. And we really are in this together. As a Christian, we should be sharing with people their problems, their doubts, their worries, their lives, their needs, their hungers, their thirsts. And the last thing is T. Together. What we're doing is together today. We could have just said thank you in the house to God. But it's important to come down the street and sit together and thank Him. Because everything was a team effort. We didn't get an oven chip on our own. The fishing, we don't go out on a boat. We don't go down mines. What did we do to produce gas, oil, petrol? We are corporate. And we make problems together for ourselves. And we can solve problems together with ourselves. And it's together with God. So God in us is a team. And we produce together a harvest. Summed up in, we give Him the loaves and fish. And He does the miracles. We plant the seeds. But He makes it grow. But we have to weed it and water it and tend it and harvest it. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, insofar as we are your harvest, you have planted us, watered us, weeded us, nurtured us, and ripened us. We come today ripe and ready for your service. Take our time, our talents, our money, and our lives, and use us for your glory. Amen. Let's sing together. It's a hymn on your sheet at the back of the choruses. Praise God for the harvest of farm and of field.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the many varieties of harvests, creative writing, music composed, performances achieved, arts and crafts made, houses which have been built, objects made in factories, children who have been educated, people who have been nursed in hospitals or care homes, elderly who are cared for, young and old, nurtured into faith. We thank you that we can be co-creators with you. You and we can work together. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but is fed and watered by your almighty hand. We put broken legs into plaster, but it's you who gives the healing. We provide the loaves and fish, but it's you who does the miracles. We put the seeds in the ground, but you make the crop. We thank you for all the harvests and our human divine cooperation together. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers today. We pray for your blessing on Peggy Gilfillan next door. We pray for Morag Conway in the hospital. We pray for Margaret Curlett, for George Murray and Mamie Hamilton in Arranview. We pray for John Clarkson, and we pray for Julie McTavish, who's also in hospital. We pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are bereaved. We pray for the family and friends of John Murdoch, whose funeral was here this week. We pray for your comfort and peace upon Lydia Walker, who's mourning the loss of her sister, who died in Italy when she was visiting her. We pray for Harry and Matty Duff on their 60th wedding anniversary. We pray for the wider world. We think of Hong Kong with the protests continuing. We think of the election in Afghanistan this weekend. More people are killed in Afghanistan than Syria and Yemen put together. And the Taliban are trying to stop the election by bombing people queuing up to vote. We think of civil war in Libya. And it's not just civil war. Other countries are piling in. There's a danger that terrorists will make use of the chaos. We pray for Yemen and Syria. And we pray for Britain at this time. We seem to be in a terrible pickle over Brexit. Everything that we thought was rock-solid foundations are being shaken. Even this week, all the opposition parties are planning how to bring down the government. Lord, give us wisdom, give us moral courage, give us guidance, give us patience. And we think of the world facing global warming and the harvest around the world being very patchy. May we all share. May we share the problems together and share the solutions together. And we pray for your church in the midst of it all. As a presbytery today, we pray for all the congregations on the island of Arran. And we think of the Reverend Angus Adamson and Mrs. Jean Hunter and Elizabeth Watson. And we just ask you to bless our own congregation too, as we seek to serve you in this place. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn was written by Patricia, and it's Lord of Creation. You'll find it on your sheets as well. God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.